Dropped into Juice Box Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Yes, yes. Welcome back to Juicebox Radio. Don't touch that dial. You're exactly where you want to be. You're with Caroline McGilfrey and Julia Saunders. In Juicebox Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. Or maybe you are one of our online listeners on CITR.ca.
Or if you ever miss a show, maybe you're downloading that podcast at juiceboxradio.com.
That's right. Well, I guess last time we had these fabulous guests in the juice, in the box.
In the box. I
in
like
the hot
in the
box. One of the key points that came up in our last show on this was the topic of loving more than one, which was polyamory for most, but I think people are kind of getting tired of hearing this word on Juicebox. Polyamory. Loving more than one was this wicked little emotion that we as humans all seem to share at times, and that's jealousy.
Evil.
That green-eyed monster seems to lurk under the surface. Sometimes it emerges above, wreaking havoc with our emotions and our relationships. Many of us have...
The sound effects. Many of us experience this in the world of monogamy, whether a partner casts an admiring glance or perhaps spends a little too much time with a person that we feel threatened by.
Small or large threat.
And we do know what large and small means.
Maybe our partner has had sex without our consent with another person, which is otherwise known as cheating, or has lied at times about their whereabouts, or we believe that they might be cheating on us in some way or another. One can imagine the challenge that might be coming up in a polyamorous relationship, which we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. But what about other relationship structures? What about our friendships and our business relationships or situations like that? I mean, jealousy also comes up in there. So we ended our last show with Jillian and AJ, and we told you that we'd follow up with an in-depth discussion about jealousy. So tonight, joining us again is Jillian Derry. Welcome.
Thank you.
She's currently researching and writing her PhD about jealousy, so I figured we can confidently say she's an expert. And joining her and Juicebox again tonight is her fabulous partner, AJ.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And listeners out there, if you've got any questions that you want to ask or you want to contribute to this conversation, just give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR.
Right. And we were discussing a lot last time about loving more than one. Right, ladies?
Polyamory.
Right. I know you're all comfortable now. They're not even paying any attention. They're sort of just fiddling with their outfits. And they're just so comfortable on the radio
already.
But they
look really good. So why shouldn't they fiddle with the outfits? Yeah, I would too.
They look fabulous. It's too bad we don't have a video cam in here. One of these days we're going to get one because I think that people like to watch us do our thing, don't they?
I think so too. They like seeing super hot people. And we've got four super hot people in here.
That's right.
And if Val's still here, she's a little hottie too.
Yeah, five of us. Five hot women.
Which is very hot.
I didn't say ladies this time, thank goodness. Okay, so jealousy can affect us all. So I want to know, like I was talking a few seconds ago, it can affect all of us and in relationships like friendships too. So what are your comments on that? Both of you can maybe comment.
Well, you're absolutely right. Jealousy affects us in a lot of aspects of our lives, and we tend to focus on it in our romantic relationships, but definitely in friendships, in our family, yeah, careers, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have anything to add?
Sure. I mean, actually, on the way here in the car, I was just talking about how some of my most memorable times of being jealous were with friends, mm-hmm. with close friends. Jealous of another friend or spending too much time with another friend, they're the most salient memories I have, mm-hmm. much more so than lovers, actually.
And I think also we tend to put more... more consciousness into our romantic relationships in terms of jealousy, and ignoring we don't really have the language to talk to friends about jealousy.
Why do you think that is?
That's a good question. I think there is a lot of shame attached to jealousy, and it's a really hard emotion to talk about. Most people deny it, and that usually makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we grow up in a society where competition is one of the strongest values we have, more than cooperation, and that comes into all aspects of our life.
This competition thing. So let's unpack jealousy for a bit here. What is it exactly?
Goodness, that's a
pretty big question.
It's a very big question. It's a really good one, though. It's safe to say it's an emotion. It's mm-hmm. a feeling. Well, often it's argued that it's never felt in isolation. It's always felt with another emotion, like low self-esteem, or it's anger issues, or some you grew up when your parents did something and now you're a jealous person. And I think it's useful to look at it as a combined emotion, but also not to just default that it's always only something else.
What about, I think that for me, jealousy is also related very much to trust. As you said, self-esteem, I agree with that for sure. So the self-esteem and trust link, I think there's some stuff in there. For me, I mean, if I'm going to unpack it, obviously it is an emotion. But there's I see a lot of lack of trust stuff, which I think can have to do with the past.
Like
issues.
The social, how you grew up?
Yeah, social construction of your own value in the world and of people being trustworthy or not, or the world being trustworthy or not. That's but anyway, AJ, do you have something to add? She's making a note. We're doing a little note-taking down here, which we normally do, don't we, Caroline?
We do it quite a bit, actually.
Communicate to each other by little.
It's probably because we're so used to email and Facebook these days.
That's
so.
Right.
Well, actually, on the way over here in the car, Jillian was just talking about the scarcity idea, the scarcity mentality, and I think she should talk a bit more about that.
Okay.
Do you describe the scarcity?
Yeah, I think it's sort of related to the competition. I think we grow up in a culture, a very capitalist, Western-driven culture, where we think everything is in limited quantity, like love or friendship or, I can only do well in my career if someone else is doing badly. It's a limited amount. So I think that's related to when we often feel jealous because if they have it, then I can't.
You know what? That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah. The loss factor, you know, I think that extreme reaction you get to, you're not going to lose something that's yours. You know, I think that's also in there. Yeah.
Yeah. It is also related to trust, for sure. I mean, it depends. Trust is more often in relation to close friendships or lovers. You don't usually feel the trust in your career, I suppose, but...
You're mentioning about earlier on about just how sometimes we're the way you're brought up, sometimes that might have to do with it. Do you think that might be just in terms of how it's socializing?
Absolutely. I think the way you're brought up is one part, but also our whole society. Like, again, scarcity competition. In like, the bulk of our cultural narratives and cultural stories are related to mm-hmm. competition, miscommunication, mistrust, mm-hmm. and that's what drives our drives half the plots mm-hmm. in the movies we watch.
That's true.
So we grow up with this all the time, and you know, like I think the capitalist mentality kind of links into a lot of our ways we live our lives.
What do you mean by capitalist mentality? I just want to clarify it for our listeners. I think I know, but I want if I can get you to put it in your own words.
Yeah, I think it's that everything is quantifiable, that the scarcity...
Measurable.
Pardon me.
I understand what she means because I just finished my master's, but I don't think many people...
Not just measurable, but consumable. Like, it can mm-hmm. be used up. It's a good that can be bought or traded or, you know, there's a supply and demand, that kind mm-hmm. of idea, mm-hmm. and that it's a finite quantity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we're talking a little bit about what it is, but how does it happen? I mean, we talked a little bit about that, but can you maybe expand on how does it, like, I mean, we were talking about, like, we kind of already talked about it a little bit, but can you add anything about that? How does that happen? Like, in romantic relationships, for example.
Let's paint a couple pictures, because I know we've talked about a little bit about friendship. Let's paint a couple examples.
Like on the romantic side, because we've been talking a little bit about the scarcity of, like, you know, in our economy and the competition thing and how that's sort of been driven into us since we were young people.
And I think we bring that into our relationships. Mm-hmm. We bring media, we bring the stories that we hear into our personal lives. I think the way, like, gender, like the way mm-hmm. men and women learn different ways to be jealous, like, it's conventionally thought that men react to jealousy if their partner has sex with someone else, and women will respond to jealousy if their partner has emotional ties to someone else. And supposedly, the story is that men respond to jealousy with violence, and that women respond with either cattiness or manipulative behavior. And I think we're constantly taught these stories, and I just want to make a really strong statement that I really don't think that is the way we all react. I think that's just an idea of the way genders are supposed to respond.
So how do you think people should respond, or how do they respond naturally and organically before, like, the perception of how they should?
Well, there is no how we should. I don't think it's a very clear picture of, like, you see it mm-hmm. in the movies and then you respond that way. But I think there's a link of how we learn things and how we do respond. I think every individual has a very different experience. But we do get ideas from the media and social stories.
That's right, social stories. I can get that. I mean, but for myself, I've reacted in several ways. I've done some things that have been very manipulative and catty, and I've done other things that have been violent. So, I mean, I think it can be, oh, yeah, honey, you've seen the violent side of me.
I haven't heard those stories yet, and I might need to hear those.
My poor boyfriends back in the day, I wouldn't even let them look at magazine covers or, like, the billboards without scratching their eyes out. Mm. I was a bitch.
I hope you don't mean literally scratching their eyes out. You might have an assault charge against you.
Thanks, honey. I didn't have any assault charges, but I could have, because I used to be quite violent.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because that's how I was raised, was to be violent. Because that's how my mother dealt with disciplining, was through violence. And so this is how you learn how to, you know, this is how you learn to discipline people in your life. You know, by your parents modeling you,
yeah.
modeling for you. Anyway, I love my mother. She's fabulous. But yeah, she didn't really know much better. That was back in the day when actually my brother used to get hit in school by the teacher. Like, I'm old. I mean, this is what it was used to be like, you know, the strap, things like that. Are you squeezing me to tell me to stop going on the tangent of Julia?
No, actually, it's the thumping, actually.
Oh, I'm thumping.
I like thumping, but okay. Not on radio. Did I just say that out loud? That was my outside voice.
Okay,
my inside voice.
We're digressing.
Yes.
Already at 10:15. Okay, so girls, ladies, I mean, women, I mean...
Julia. Anyway, one thing I did want to say in regards to jealousy, I know myself, the competition factor is... Julia's just killing me laughing right now. With that, I grew up just, well, you know, singing, acting, and dancing. So everybody I've ever been friends with up until I started Beauty Night, there was always that veneer on top of a lot of that. That you're always going to be nice, even though you may feel the jealousy underneath because somebody booked a gig that you thought that you went and competed against in dance class. Mm-hmm. They were always better than you, or you're better than them. Where's that malicious satisfaction? That sort of thing. And I have to say, I definitely take low status in terms of relationships because of that sometimes, where there's times where I know I'm super passive-aggressive about jealousy when I feel it, and I'm in a romantic relationship, which isn't always the nicest thing in the world. We're just like, oh, that's all right. That's fine. And then I'm always super nice because it's killing with kindness, which isn't always the nicest way. But I know that's how I deal with it myself. Competition. But what is competition? You know?
No, I wanted to know.
I'm just reading Julia's notes.
I made a note. I'm sorry. I made a note because I'm not a competitive person and never have been. So in any facet of my life, I'll always back down. It's like an immediate response. And I wish I was more competitive, actually, instead of getting hurt all the time by things. But I wonder, for people that aren't competitive, like, what kind of a motive issue might they have around jealousy? Like, because if it's motivated often by competition.
That's a really good question. I mean, I think jealousy is linked to a lot of different, you know, different emotions. I think competition is one of them. You mentioned trust. Often it's self-esteem. And often there's really valid reasons to be jealous. You know, once a lover left me for another woman, and I was extremely jealous because... And I think I had a reason to be. I mean, I couldn't be with her because she was with someone else. So
it's about loss, too, isn't it? I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sadness. There's a sadness in there that I think underneath the anger and the kind of like, hey, that's mine, and it's, you know, you can't have it, that kind of thing, there's a sadness of a loss.
You know? Absolutely.
So
there's other ones, too, where I can think of a couple friends of ours, actually, who, as boyfriends, have told them that they can't wear certain things. They don't want them wearing makeup because they don't want anybody else looking at them.
And possessiveness. So this is possessiveness.
And control.
Possession and control. So speak to that, maybe, Jillian, AJ, will you? That's the possessiveness thing.
Wow.
Fueling the jealousy. Fueling it.
The unhealthy side.
Well, I guess possessiveness could be either a response to jealousy. If someone's feeling jealous, they might respond by being possessive of their partner. And if your partner's being possessive, like, probably get out. Like, that's...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's... We're getting into potential abusive situations when, like, everybody feels jealousy, except maybe occasionally there's a rare person who never feels jealous, but most of us humans, we get jealous about different things. But somebody who's, like, controlling, you're getting into abusive behavior, which is way beyond just the kind of mundane jealousy we all experience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I wanted to actually go back to competition for a minute, if we could.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were kind of confusing two different ideas of competition. Like, when we're talking about jealousy, I think it's important to recognize that we're not talking about competition you willingly get involved in, like, I'm a competitive person. Not that kind of competition.
Yeah.
It's more like if you think about love as something that is only in a limited quantity, and hence, if you don't fight for it, you won't get any. And that if your lover loves someone else, that means that's 50% less love than you get. So you're actually put into, if you buy that idea, you're actually put into a situation where you must compete for a scarce resource, whether you actually want to or not. It's not about having a competitive personality.
Mm-hmm.
It's about
mm-hmm.
a situation where you have to compete for scarce resources.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people would rather retire than withdraw rather than compete, you know?
Well, that's how I've been. I mean, I'm not speaking. I know what you're saying, AJ, and I agree with you. I'm not talking about competition as in, you know, sports and business. I just noticed that when somebody starts to kind of come after one of my love interests, I'll just back right down. Like, it's even if it means losing that person.
I'm the same way, actually.
I back right down. I'm just like, okay, you go have a good time. You guys are free spirit, whatever. And I almost wait for them as a test. I will back down always. So
it depends on how far down along the relationship is. If it's at the beginning stages, a lot of times I will back down where it's like it's not worth it because I'd rather have the friendship and not fight over somebody. If it's somebody I know who's going after them, that'll back down because I always figure there's going to be another one around the corner. But if it's somebody I don't know, yeah, it's like, who do you think you are? Get away from my man. That one's mine.
She sounds like a psycho.
I think that's psycho.
In my mind. But anyway, okay. So we've talked a lot about what jealousy is. We've talked about some of the ways that it can happen. You know, business, friendship, love relationships, that kind of thing. How do we deal with it when it does?
Yeah. That's a great question. I think the biggest one is honesty and communication. And honesty starts with yourself. Mm-hmm. If you can really know why you're jealous, know what you want from the relationship, it's easier to talk about it. If you start saying, well, I don't really want to be with them because there's this new love interest, and you just back away, is that really what you want? Or is that could potentially be based in a...
Fear
or a shame of being of demonstrating jealousy that would just back away, which is possible.
So are there some questions that people can ask themselves to try and come up with things for themselves? Like, what's a good process for them to come up with where it's like, okay, I'm feeling jealous, what's going on, and how do I deal with this? And what would be a good way to ask? And maybe some step-by-step stuff.
Yeah,
Do you need a hypothetical situation, perhaps?
Let's give them a hypothetical. Okay.
Okay, so...
Once upon a time, there was this young friend of ours who was at the bar, and her boyfriend was working as a bartender there. Now, she was getting free drinks all night, and she was sitting there with one of her other friends, and they were enjoying themselves, having a wonderful night. Then suddenly, this strange hairy-faced man comes in and offers to buy them a drink, which bartender raises his eyebrow and says why not, because he wants to increase the revenues for the bar that night, so he lets them. Then this hairy-faced man, I love that, a hairy-faced man starts flirting with his girlfriend a little too much. And so she turns and starts kissing her girlfriend just to make the other one leave her alone. And the bartender freaks out and starts yelling at his girlfriend, like, how could you do this? This is totally disrespectful to us.
Wow.
And this actually really happened to somebody we know.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Was the girlfriend that she kissed just a friend?
Just a friend.
So she was just doing it to leave the guy.
And she just pecked her like a kiss. Not with tongue or anything.
So we want to look at how his jealousy, right?
Yes.
The bartenders. Yeah. I think they need to, like, what predetermined rules do they have in the relationship? Is it okay for her to go off and kiss someone else? Because if they've previously said, yeah, go ahead, kiss whoever you want, that's one thing. But if they've never negotiated that, doing it right in front of them, that's pretty disrespectful. I would say.
Okay.
There are so many problems with that scenario that jealousy is only one of them. Really. Like,
I want you to elaborate.
They're drinking too much. That's
who are we talking about, though? That's what I'm worried about. Okay.
It's not either of us.
Well, I mean, I think that kissing your friend to let some guy know you're not interested is pretty passive. And I think that, you know, it doesn't serve you very well to... practice avoidance behavior like that. I think you're much better off going, buddy, get lost. And it's just kind
much
of...
Much better off saying, buddy, get lost.
Definitely.
Yeah. And as far as the boyfriend who felt jealous, like, we would need to know more details. Like, my question would be, did he freak out in the bar? Because that's not appropriate. I think feeling jealous is appropriate. I think that it's an emotion and, you know, it's fine to feel jealous. It's what you do about it that matters.
Exactly.
So if he freaks out in the bar...
Which he did, and
it's
apparently
like,
yelled
buddy,
at
buddy, it's okay to be jealous. It's not okay to freak out, you know, and potentially, like, scare somebody and stuff like that. It sounds like they desperately need to, like, talk, you know. Like, her behavior was disrespectful, and his behavior was inappropriate, and it could have been avoided, you know.
I think so, too.
All right, well...
That's been one that we've
been
concerned
about. That's one scenario that we can consider. I think we have a whole other half hour to talk about a lot of things around sort of, I think that, because you see some polyamorous say that jealousy is not innate and it's not inevitable, and it certainly is absolutely, you know, possible to overcome. So we want to talk about that and sort of just how to sort of deal successfully with maybe another couple of scenarios. If you're listening and you want to call in with your jealousy scenario that you might like to get some help from our experts
please
in the
do
house,
so.
Do so. And we're at 604-822-2487. You can certainly ask some questions of our fabulous guests tonight, Jillian and AJ. And they'll be back in the second half. And we're also going to be talking about, what are we talking about? We're going to be talking about steps that can be taken from day one to make a relationship strong so that when jealousy does raise its green-eyed monster head, which it will, because we're human, how to deal with that healthfully and to start from sort of the beginning. We're also going to be talking about compersion. You're wondering what that is? You'll have to listen and find out next. So we're taking a little break, and we're going to be listening to some BC ska. Strong and skankin' from the true north.
That's and scantily clawed.
Scantily clawed, and it's scantily clawed is the name of the CD of the song. Uh-huh. The CD is BC Ska, 2007, made in Canada.
Yay, you can find out about BC, made in homegrown.
Anyway, yeah, homegrown song there. And we're gonna keep that dot locked because we'll be back with Jealousy Unpacked, as well as some juice berries for your interest and attending pleasure. You're in Juice Box. We're on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, and we will be right back.
If I could make the sunshine, don't you know I would let it shine on you? And if I could make things alright, don't you know I would love to see you smile? You may think that you're alone and everyone's out to get you down, oh, but that's not true. No need to get you back up with me. I don't wanna be fighting, no, no, not with you. So just forget about it, forget about it. No need arguing tonight. Forget about it, forget about it. No need to be on your defensive side. No, no, baby, not when you're with me. I'll take your hand, walk you to the shore, cast your worries out, and don't hurt no more. I know time will heal your sorrow. One day you'll wake up and live for tomorrow. I wonder how long your trust will be gone. There's no sense in holding on to that old clock. And you tick away and then you blow up, and there's no way to shut you off. Please stand down from your watch and just forget about it, forget about it. No need arguing tonight. Forget about it, forget about it. No need to be on your defensive side. No, no, baby, not when you're with me. I got a warm front coming in. I take the troubles on the chin. I got the sunshine on my shoulders. I got the heartbeat in my heart. I got the warm front coming in. I take the troubles on the chin. I got the sunshine on my shoulders. I got the heartbeat in my heart. I got the warm front coming in. I take the troubles on the chin. I got the sunshine on my shoulders. I got the heartbeat in my heart. I got the warm front coming in. I take the troubles on the chin. I got the sunshine on my shoulders. I got the heartbeat in my heart.
Student Made, Student Featured, UBC TV. check out www.ubctv.ca. Originally conceived in 1990, UBCTV reinvented itself this past year with the launch of www.ubctv.ca. With support from UBC Rec and run by and for students, the site showcases student material ranging from films and music videos to sports, including the production of its own show, UBC Sports Desk. With the goal of getting students involved, UBCTV allows students to submit their content. Viewers have the added advantage of video on demand, allowing them to choose with ease exactly what they want to watch and when. UBCTV is recruiting staff for the next school year. Positions available are IT Director, Marketing Director, Program Director, Producer, Videographer, and Marketing Assistant. Anyone interested is requested to send an email to info@ubctv.ca or to log on to ubctv.ca for more details.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we're back. Welcome back to Juice Box Radio. Yes, you are in the box.
Which most people like being.
Shit. Okay, I just were on the air for no reason at all. All right, so we have been chatting with Jillian Derry and her partner, AJ. Thank you both of you again for being on the show. We've been talking a little bit about polyamory, but mostly about jealousy. And before the break, we did touch on the fact that there are things that can be done in your relationship so that jealousy does not become a huge issue, and when it does, that you handle it ethically, responsibly, maturely, hopefully. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And the first question that I sort of thought we might discuss is that what polyamorists say. They say that jealousy is not innate in our character, and it's not inevitable, and nor is it impossible to overcome. So what do you two think about that?
Well, I have to agree. I think very little of our emotional structure is innate. I think the potential to be jealous could have some basis, but the way we experience jealousy, what will make us jealous, and the control we can have over it is definitely within our control, and it's definitely not inevitable. I think that everybody will have their different process, different triggers of what makes us jealous, and different ways that we can respond. And yeah,
I mean, I agree with Jillian. I think that I don't think that jealousy is innate, but at the same time, I'm not convinced that you overcome jealousy and then you're never jealous again. Mm-hmm. You know, we're social animals, and there are lots of social situations that come up that can bring up jealousy. I think that for most people, certainly for myself, jealousy is so much more about me than it is about who I'm with or what's going on. And when I ask myself, why am I feeling jealous, it usually comes back to something I feel like I'm missing out on, or I'm not getting, or I'm afraid of losing. And there, I think that you can overcome over time and become a much less jealous person. Like, you can become a much less insecure person if you work on your own personal shit.
Yeah.
But totally. But then, let's say you're the most highly evolved person in the world. There could always be a new situation that you hadn't accounted for, or you could be having a bad day or something like that, and you could feel jealous in the moment. But I think in general, mm-hmm. we could all become much less jealous people by working on our own shit.
And addressing some of the stuff we were talking about in the first half, and that is this feeling of lack, that there's not enough out there for all of us to, or that we're not good enough or something, or that we're not, you know, whole and complete as we are, and we don't need others to complete us so that we can have the what are you giggling about?
Making eye contact with Jillian. We have a habit of doing this.
Okay.
It's okay. I'm not laughing at you.
I don't mind if you are. That's
are
fine.
You jealous?
I'm not jealous.
Just
okay. All right. So I think that if we do work on our what we consider to be our inner deficiencies, they don't exist, but we seem to think they do, and continue to build our self-esteem, which is, you know, the key word there, I think. But one that I don't like, because it's just, I think we need to find other ways of describing esteem. What
Such
that
as
means.
How?
I don't know. That's another show, another topic for another show. But I struggle with this whole self-esteem crap. I think if we just fundamentally remember that we're whole and complete as we are, then we wouldn't have all these issues, and that there is enough for everyone to feel loved and supported. And I mean, we are such social animals, and we do need others around us, as much as we like to pretend we don't. You know, that we're fine as we are. We need others' love and others' affection, and even just to be around people. That's what we are as social animals. So, but there is enough out there, and we can find what we need in our multitude of friends and family, and not have to rely on all one person to fulfill everything, which I think is part of where a lot of relationships start to fall apart. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you have a really good point that about self-esteem. I think two things, though. It's important not to think that jealousy only comes from lack of self-esteem, because that will link it always to shame, and I think it's not always the case. Mm. Sometimes
good reasons to be jealous is what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's not always because you're lacking something. It could just be, it could be a lot of, it could be trust, miscommunication, a lot of things. It's not only self-esteem. And I also think there's a good way that it can actually drive you. Like, if you are feeling jealous, maybe you can check your own shit. You can check where you're at in your life and say, well, maybe there are changes I do want to make in my life, and maybe I'm not maximizing my potential, to use a silly cliche that I wish I didn't use. But there's a lot of other ways maybe you want to, rethink.
Right.
Rethink how you're living your life.
Right.
Angel, you look like you might have a comment.
Yeah.
No, I'm just thinking. I agree with Dylan.
All right, so we were talking before the break about scenarios of jealousy. So let's talk about some classic mishaps that can happen and that can lead to jealousy. And how do you guys work through your jealous situations? That kind of thing.
Interesting. I think miscommunication is probably the biggest one. And again, it goes to being honest with yourself. If you say, oh, I'll be okay with whatever you do tonight, only say that if you mean it. If you don't mean it and your partner goes and does something and then you become jealous, you might become jealous anyway, but you might want to make sure you're telling them the truth, or you're the closest you can come to your truth, rather than telling them what you think they want to hear. And that can be a cause of a lot of... Yeah.
I think, just to add to what Jillian said, I think that sort of presupposes some really good communication in the relationship, because if you are completely honest with the other person, you have to know that they can hear it, that they're not going to, like, be defensive or hold it against you in some way or overreact. And so, you know, it's just one part of good communication. So, yeah, I think that the flip side is, if somebody's going to tell you how they're really feeling, you also have to be prepared as the listener to not take it on. Like, it's like, yes, this is how you feel, but I'm not going to change my behavior because I didn't do anything wrong. This is assuming that you're not cheating and being a jerk and stuff. Just garden variety jealousy. It's like
garden variety,
being able to hear that someone is jealous and listen to that, but not take it on as your responsibility. You know, that's classic codependence, right? Like, I'll change who I am so you don't feel jealous. You know, that doesn't work.
Yeah. Or getting defensive.
That's no good. That's what happens all the time. People are so bad about that. They, like, just want to reduce their partner's anxiety or upset, and so they try to wrap themselves into a pretzel to not hurt or offend or make their partner anxious. And so many of us do that. Man, have I ever done that a lot in my life.
And there's always...
afraid we have a caller.
Whoa.
I'm always afraid when we have a caller. You're on the air with Juice Box.
Oh, hey, how are you doing?
Good.
It's me, David Suzuki.
Oh, God.
I hate
how
myself.
How are you? How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Good,
yourself?
Good. Do you have a question for us on jealousy?
Well, kind of, you know. Like, the thing about polyamory is, you know, you seem to have spanned quite a universe of, like, business and politics and this and that. But, you know, the ultimate thing is, like, if you're not telling somebody exactly what you're about and why you're doing it, you're kind of, like, hiding your cards or something, you know?
Yes,
like
true.
Like a card game or something.
And? Well, so you think people have reason to be jealous if you're doing that, or?
Well, no, actually, the thing about it is, Sure, you can be jealous as a person, but actually you shouldn't be if you're all playing the same game.
Right.
But the thing is, if one person is lying about the card game they're playing on the one hand, and the other person is lying about their card game on the other hand, you got a couple of lying card cheaters at the card table.
Right on. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Anything to add? Anything else, sir?
No, actually, it's just called, like, royal flush.
Thanks for calling.
Any comments?
Wow, that was insightful. That was really insightful. Okay, thanks, caller, for wasting the last 2 minutes of our time. Okay, back to the conversation. That was, I like your voice, though, actually, David Suzuki. I'm sure he'd want to sue you for using his name, but perhaps that is your name. Anyway, you do have a very entertaining voice, so keep listening. Thanks. Anyway, all right. Where were we?
We're talking about communication.
We're talking about whether or not if somebody could handle it, which being really careful in terms of if your listener makes sure that you don't take it on yourself when somebody's telling you that they're jealous. And as long as you're not doing it's garden variety jealousy. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about.
And also saying what you mean rather than saying something and thinking that they could read your body language and you actually mean something else. Mm. And I think that happens a lot, too. People are not mind readers and don't expect your partner to be, even if they're as close as you are to them.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Say what you mean. Be upfront and honest. I think, you know, taking some time to really think and mull around very carefully how you actually feel about something is probably really important. We all kind of knee-jerk reaction when it comes to highly charged situations or feelings of jealousy, I think, are almost always highly charged. Really good idea to just sort of take a step back and assess, you know, maybe ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? AJ, you kind of touched on that you kind of think about that in yourself and think, oh, you know, why am I actually feeling this way? That maybe it has something to do with, you had said, a deficiency or what you consider to be something missing or whatever. I think you said something.
Yeah, like old insecurities. Like yeah. I, with myself, I don't think it's a case of low self-esteem. I think it's more just like triggers that bring up insecurity, you know, like fear of being left is mm-hmm. a pretty common one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I did want to give you an anecdote about mm-hmm. Jillian and I without getting too personal. But one of the ways that I think we've set out to try and have less jealousy in our relationship is that we've always had a lot of negotiation right from the beginning. And that was partly because I was already in a relationship when we got together. But it's also who we are and what we want and stuff like that, I think. We came together at, you know, at the right time. And so we talked a lot right at the beginning when no one was going to get hurt and no one was, you could walk away. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's one of the reasons why communicating early in the relationship when you're not so invested yet. Because it's fun and flirty to talk about what you want. It's hot to talk about what you want, what you don't want, who you are. And I think it can give a good impression to the other person of like, wow, you're confident and everything. That's the best time to have negotiations about what you want. Mm-hmm. It's not saying we're getting married tomorrow. It's saying here's what I want out of a relationship. And that can be actually very, very hot. And then no one, it's not, if you wait until later on when people's emotions are involved and they've fallen in love with you, it's harder to set those ground rules. It's hard to set boundaries mm-hmm. later on, and people are much more likely to give up their boundaries.
I agree with you. I think it's a really good idea. It doesn't seem to be a typical way that people play the game of dating because the mystery is still such an appealing sort of thing that people really get bought into. And Caroline, you're a classic mystery girl. So, you know, I'm very much cards on the table myself. In fact, I've ruined many relationships because I put the cards on the table a little bit too clearly and plainly and sometimes a little too soon. So I think in some situations it probably works really well and it can be very hot and it shows a lot of confidence. I think in other situations people like to play their cards close to their chest. Speaking of card games, seems to be the theme tonight. I think for some it works. I agree with you. I think it's a really good way to go. But I just think that so many people are like into the mystery thing and into like letting things unfold organically. And
I think that I think it's a bit of a myth. Like, I think that you can have. I think it's a myth that talking about things kills the romance. I think that that's really quite a myth. I think that that talking is hot, and communicating and knowing who you are and being confident is hot. I think that if somebody thinks you're killing the romance, then they have other issues.
I think they're a little immature, a little socially immature, perhaps, a little emotionally immature, maybe.
Well, I think there's also a balance of, like, before you know the person, if you're like, oh, you're the one I'm going to marry forever and have 12 babies, like, that would be frightening. But if you're like, I really want to get to know you, I think I see a lot of great stuff in you, I'm into an open relationship, those aren't that scary to hear. It's not putting this, like, I see this forever. It's just saying, here's right now what I think. And there's a lot of ways that you can keep mystery. You can keep mystery in other aspects of your life. And I'm about mystery, too. I'm all about being upfront about what I want for the dynamic, but about the person, I mean, we all like surprises. Sometimes.
I'm not big on surprises.
Well, I mean, you know, we want our person to always tell us new things about themselves.
Yeah, I didn't mean to imply that you negotiate how many children you're going to have and what neighborhood you want to buy a house in. I didn't mean that. I meant more like... And I also didn't mean on the first date.
That's the problem I've had, I think.
I think it is a matter of, knowing when too much is too much.
Yes.
But, just having clear boundaries. For example, if you want a really clear example, when Jillian and I got involved, I was already seeing somebody else, mm-hmm. and I was leaving to go visit that person. And I had to tell Jillian why I wasn't going to come into her apartment that night. And it was because I had agreement with the other person that I wouldn't before I went to see them. And it was our first date. And that felt like too much information to give.
And it had a positive consequence, because that made me know I could trust AJ. It doesn't even sound strange. I knew that this is someone I could do poly with, because I was able to trust their integrity to their other person.
And their ethics, obviously, because they're just, at risk of never seeing you again, Jillian. AJ risked and said, this is the, agreement with my past, my current relationship with the other person. And Jillian could easily have said, oh, my God, what? Okay, I'm never seeing you again. Go away from me, right?
Well, and Jillian also told me afterwards, because she told me that impressed her afterwards, was that I could have gone into her house and the other person would never have known. They don't live in the same city. They would never have known that I didn't honor our agreement. But I wanted to honor our agreement. Like, why would I agree to something I wasn't going to honor? What's the point of that?
Well, that's integrity, too, right? Like, it's how you feel good about yourself. If you're talking about self-esteem and raising self-esteem, that's one of the ways you do it, is by making promises and giving your word and having yourself true to your word. That's going to raise your self-esteem, right?
Mm-hmm. And so nothing's more attractive than integrity. Well, mm-hmm. some things are, but that's a strong one for sure.
But a scenario that we brought up, someone could say, well, if you said that to the other person, that would be a total turnoff and you're never going to have a second date. And here's an example of where it actually had the opposite effect,
Yeah, totally. I hear you. It's a good one. Lots of food for thought tonight on the old juice box. Okay, so speaking of... Do we have anything else? Okay. So this new term for the opposite of jealousy, this compersion term. People, when I said this word, I think it was about a year ago was the first time, or maybe it was 2 years ago, people had no idea what I was talking about. And I got a barrage of emails and postings on the website asking, what is this compersion word? I've never heard of this compersion word. I think the polyamorous of the world have brought it kind of to the forefront, which is interesting. And we talked about it last time. Okay, thanks. I like how you're whispering.
But it's good, because I forgot what it meant, so I'm glad you brought it up again and you're refreshed, because I'm sure some of the listeners are thinking the same thing out there.
Right.
So it's really good.
It is this feeling of joy that comes from knowing that the one you love is being well-loved by someone else. And I think it's a very mature and evolved emotion. What do you guys think? Have you felt compersion for each other? Like, have we talked about this already? Okay.
I think it was actually polyamorous, or people who did non-monogamy, who created the word. because they realized that there was no opposite of jealousy in our vocabulary. Hmm. There was no word for that. And it's, if we don't have an opposite, then that's, we only have neutrality or jealousy. And it's important to feel the opposite. I think often we feel it commonly with friends. Like a friend has something new and exciting. You're like, oh, great, and you feel a lot of joy for that. That's a very common way that we feel compersion. And to feel that with a lover is sort of the next step. And if you're going to be jealous in a poly relationship, sorry to go back to poly again, mm-hmm. but you're never going to be happy. You're always going to be miserable. So either you work through it and learn to feel compersion, or it's probably not for you.
So it can be learned.
Absolutely.
Do you have any comments, AJ?
No. Okay. I agree with Jillian, yeah. It can definitely be learned.
All right, well, I have a scenario that's a pretty extreme one. Do you have something you want to add?
I was just
going to
ask how it could be learned, because I was just curious.
Okay.
Like, if there's any guidelines on how to learn that, or is it just through experience? Or?
Well, perhaps a scenario. You know, sometimes there's less responsibility on me because I know AJ's being loved by another person. I don't have to be the only one. I don't have to fulfill everything. And someone else is there. And also, likewise, I can... We've only really talked about your other partners, but like there's a lot of joy that can be had in sharing that responsibility.
Nice. Or,
mm-hmm. I think also just seeing your loved one getting
being happy,
joy
and
happy
care of.
And yeah, from others, it's infectious. It's like anything else, like any other kind of contagion. People being in a really good mood can put you in a good mood. People being in a really down mood can put you in a down mood. So if you can exercise that contagion into a possible feeling of joy and, like, just, you know, utter, like, bliss for the other person, allow that emotion to also wash over you, and maybe that can give you some experience of compersion.
I think compersion happens when you feel secure in the relationship. And that means different things to different people. Like, some people will never be secure in their relationship because they have issues, you know? But I think that if you're having good communication and you don't feel like another person is a threat to your relationship, you can actually enjoy the fact that your lover has other people who love them, just like you would enjoy their friends, you know? Like, it's not that different. Okay. Go ahead.
I just want to mention a very small tool that I have to help me feel compersion, and that is actually to do the opposite of what you would do with jealousy. And if jealousy, you want to, like, lash out and be angry at that other person, I find that going out of my way to be kind to them, actually giving them a gift or going out of my way to do something for them helps me feel, it's like a crutch that does help me feel compersion.
Hmm.
So I've actually spent time with AJ's other lover to get to know them and honor that friendship, and that's helped me a lot.
Nice. I was just going to ask you for an example, and you gave one, so thank you. That's perfect.
I think also my recommendation I've given people in the past is that we're going back to the conversation about abundance and having there is always enough love in the world, and we don't have to feel that there isn't enough for us. Just to sort of, you know, take deep breaths and go, like, you know, I am abundant and I have enough and I have enough love. And there, you know, just to even say the words love in your mind and feel, you know, whole and complete and just feel filled by the beautiful things around you, whatever in that moment there might be. And there always is if you just look for it. So, yeah, I think that's what's helped me in the past is just sort of touching into that and checking in with that. And my extreme situation that I wanted to give as an example is something I just recently learned from my last poly relationship I was in for a year. Him and his partner are struggling right now, and they... You know, he's in love with someone else and they want to spend lots of time together. They've already got this sort of like 2-date maximum in the week, and they both want more time together. And his partner of, you know, X number of years is really, really having a hard time with that. And I would have to agree with her. I would have a really hard time with it too. She's supposed to be the primary partner. You know, I just... You know, and he's in love with this other person and wants to spend more time with her. And how does primary partner deal with that? She's struggling.
No, that's a very good question. Yeah. She, I mean, we did bring up a lot of things already, but she could be... She always can make rules with him. Like, he should honor... If she has a need, that should be honored. And it's not because she's jealous, therefore she's making a rule, and therefore the rule is not valid. I think whatever she needs is valid. Same with his needs. Like, it shouldn't be lowest common denominator, and we default to either one of their needs, you know? But, I mean, she could also look to... Yeah. Look to her friends for support, too, not only him, but also have him honor whatever she needs.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's that phrase, new relationship energy. Like, it's possible that he and the new lover are just going through a period where...
Honeymoon phase.
The honeymoon phase. And so perhaps it's a matter of patience, waiting that out until things calm down a bit more. That doesn't mean that they lose that, just that they become a more stable relationship and less, you know, all-encompassing. But I agree with Jillian in that if he values his primary relationship, it to me it's not even important that she's primary. Like, to me, that's, you could change. You could become a secondary, or I don't even use those terms. Like, we don't have primary and secondary in our relationships. But so to me, it's not important that she's the primary, but it's obviously important to them. And I guess that means that they have an agreement about behaviors and stuff, and that's what makes her primary. So I think it's really important that he ask her what she needs and what he can do to help her get through this period of time.
Juice box,
and lots of reassurance.
Sexuality education,
like, lots of reassurance
show.
That he still wants to be with her, that, yes, he's going through this period of enamorment with a new woman, but he still wants to be in this relationship, and he's willing to do the work to give her the reassurance that she needs. And she has to be willing to be more flexible and also communicate what's going on for her. So
I think it's very telling because when him and I were dating in our first, you know, 6 months, it was very, very intense and passionate, and we wanted to spend lots of time together, and we were falling in love and all that stuff. And, you know, she understandably struggled with the amount of love that we shared, but I lived in a different city, so it made it a lot easier. I mean, we lived in the same city, we probably would have started doing more, like, two nights a week, and would have been a lot more intense. And so it's good advice. I think, you know, I'll have her listen to the last 5 minutes of the show for this little piece but that you guys have offered, and I appreciate that. But yeah, just to wait it out, I think the new relationship energy stuff, and you know what, things can always change. Yeah, getting support from your friends. As much as we'd like to think that relationships may be permanent in a lot of ways, if that word is even possible in this day and age, they aren't, and people can change their minds. And so, you know, I don't know. It's kind of a tough one. It's sort of like you want to be able to feel that you can relax and let go and sort of totally trust that the relationship will stay with you. But sometimes it doesn't. So in that case, you got to move on, right? I mean, you got to just look after yourself and move on. So any last comments?
Well, relationships are liquid, and I think maybe that's it. That's never frozen in time, and it's always it really is a work in progress. So just because he hit that wonderful peak doesn't mean it's going to stay there. I think good communication, those things, it keeps it healthy and happy.
So now I have this collection of jealousy, how to overcome it, keep yourself on the right track, remembering these steps. Acknowledge your jealousy. Ask yourself where it's coming from. Question why the situation makes you feel jealous, and make self-health and lifestyle changes that will assist you in fighting it off. AJ's talked quite a bit about that. And combining jealousy with the more rational emotion. And I think the biggest one for all of us to do is to practice. Practice not being jealous, or dealing with your jealousy, or combining it with something more rational, or conversing with your partner, acknowledging your feelings in a way that's not going to be violent, emotionally, mentally, or physically, obviously. So, any last comments? Anything else?
Yeah, I have a comment. Yes. I think that, you know, it's really important to remember that feeling jealousy is okay. Like, your feelings are valid. It's what you do with it that matters. It's what behavior you engage in because of your jealousy that can be positive or destructive.
And yeah, I'll also add that trying to avoid feeling it is often the worst thing to do. It usually builds up. So if you just go in, feel it, and you'll realize that it's not so bad. You can feel it and still live your life, feel it and still love. And It doesn't have to overcome you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Very, yes. Very good. Good final comments. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us again on Juice Box Radio.
Pleasure.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Do you want to do the wrap up, honey? Do you want to end it, or do you want me to do it, honey? All right. We hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We're going to be back next week. Caroline and I will be back next week with another fresh and lively Juice Box Radio. Tonight was a good one. Thank you, sweetheart. And coming up next is Hans Claus's Misery Hour with Marion, the preeminent and sexy best dresser in the West, I think.
Very, very. What's this man got on now?
What's he got on? His favorite outfit. He's looking hot. His shoes are red, black, and white. They're fabulous. His shoes
are lovely.
Amazing. Super hot voice. Marion will be guiding you into the wee hours and with his ambient collection of very interesting music. People love this show. He was sick last week. We're glad you're back.
I wasn't sick. My cat died.
Oh, my goodness. His cat died. Oh. 14 years old. No wonder you took the week off, sweetheart. Well,
we'll
be back next week. And thank you for listening. Take care.